Okay, let's learn. Everybody should have a sefer now. In the sefer, we're on page 81. It's a mechaya to be able to have a sefer. It's not so close to the Aris HaKadosh in general to have. Now you have with Rabbi Avinir's parish. We started learning last week just to try to translate to teach this mimer of Hasoidius HaKolelus. Hasoidius HaKolelus. The entire sefer that you have now, the Aris HaKadosh with Rav Avi Ner's parish, is only this mimer of Chochmas HaKadosh. There's going to have to be many, many more volumes. There are four volumes of Aris HaKadosh. This is only a part of the first volume of Aris HaKadosh. So we're learning Hasoidius HaKolelus. And here, too, Rav Kook is taking us into a much deeper understanding of what the chiluk is between. He begins with philosophy, with philosophy, but it really means all of Chochmas Yavan, all of secular wisdom, all of Chol, and Pnimius HaTorah. Torah and Pnimius HaTorah in particular. Chol, secular wisdom, philosophy and so on, science, as honest and as thorough as the limud is, as the study is, sof kol sof, as we were learning last week, they don't connect the dots of creation. Each chachma is a chachma that is focused on that particular piece of the human psyche, the human body, history, whatever it is. But it's only a tiny piece of creation. But there's nothing that joins together all the different disciplines, thoughts, feelings of the world. Soidius, Rav Kook gives it that term. Soidius, even a nigla, even the revealed Torah, a person can be completely focused on the trees and not see the forest. Soidius, the world of Pnimius, the inner world of Torah, which is what this entire mimer is about, Chochmas HaKadosh. Rav Kook says, B'tiva chederes bakol. Chederes bakol. It penetrates, it reaches into everything. All the emotions, all the inclinations, all the longings, dreams, aspirations, all worlds from beginning to end. From beginning to end. And therefore, Torah, Bechlal, and Pnimius HaTorah, the inner world of Torah Befrat in particular, doesn't overlook all the tiny details of life. All the smallest people in the world who seem to be the most unimportant, to be the most insignificant. From that perspective of Echad, of everything being one, there's no such thing as something that's not Chashuv, that's not important, it's not big. There's no such thing as anything like that. Mishum kach, he says, Ein lefenehal godol v'kaiten. That's where we're up to. The paragraph beginning, L'umazah. Ein lefenehal godol v'kaiten. There's no need of big or small. When a person starts to learn Gemara, hasn't learned Gemara, an adult, he's introduced to the world of Torah Shebaal Peh. One of the most frustrating things is that it's hard for that person who's not used to this to understand, like, why were these great rabbis, like, so meshuggah of all of these things? Like, why were they so particular about everything? And the feeling that a person has who's never learned Gemara before, he starts to learn Gemara, is like, okay, is that like we're gonna spend the next month talking about this, like this detail that you're learning the parak of Ben Sarah and Moira in Sanhedrin, and Chazal themselves say it never happened and never will happen. And we're here in these sugyas of the Gemara that never happened, never will happen. And there are 10 rabbis over four generations who are arguing and fighting about something that seems to be really could we move on? It just doesn't seem to be like number one on my list of what's big in the world, what's important in the world. The Ein God of a Kach. Every single word, every single letter is of galactical, cosmic importance. There's no such thing. It's not important. No such thing. The same way that the hurt feelings of a little child. There's no such thing that something is not important. Hakol Choshev. I'm just going over the last sentence we learned last week. Hakol Choshev, everything is important. Hakol Nerach Be'erach Roshum Ein Tnua Avuda Ein Dimyon Batel. Ein Dimyon Batel. Even the person's imagination. There's no such thing that something's not important, that it doesn't need to be understood. Lumaze. Just as every tiny little piece of creation is part of the tapestry of Echad of One, every tiny detail. Lumaze ain keitz l'ha'aliyas, the greatness, the expansiveness, the unbelievable, the aliyas, the ascent. There's ain keitz l'aliyas. There's no end to how high this goes, to how great this is. Ein keitz la'aliyas. Vein chochma v'havana shenema v'adai. Lo tiskash lo riyos el yoni mimena. As great as one becomes, and as much as one learns, and as much as one understands, he hasn't even started. You haven't even started. There's always a ha'ora yoyser el yoni mimena. There's always a light that is brighter. There's always something higher. Always something higher. Shehi nireis luhumasa b'maymad afluli. That compared to what you just learned, if you look back on what you just learned, and it was an amazing thing that you learned, but now when you move on to the next level, what you just learned seems to be dark, seems to be dim, compared to the brilliance of the light that you're seeing now. What you learned before, which you were very, very overwhelmed by, you were very amazed by what you learned before, but then when you move to the next level, you look back and it feels like what I learned before was the light was dim. It was something which was dark compared to the or the light of this new hasaga. All of this is what the Yevanim did not want. And all of what Chanuk is this. Everything that we're learning now. So all this is the sugi of Chanuk. Of Chachmas Yavin and Chachmas Yisrael. Chachmas Achol, Chachmas HaKadosh. Lashkichem Teres Echol. The Yevanim, the Greeks, had a tremendous appreciation for Torah. They had a tremendous appreciation for Torah. They studied Bible. They appreciated Tanakh. Everywhere you go in the world, there are professors who teach, who study, and who love the Bible, who love Tanakh. So what's Lashkicham Teresecha? And you know that Shachoach is the letters Choshech. What's Lashkicham Teresecha? Lashkicham Teresecha. To bring about a forgetting of Torah, a choshech, a darkness in Torah, darkness. You could even be learning, not in the in the in the University of Athens, you know? You could be learning in a yeshiva. And you feel that this is as far as I can go. This is the limit of the depth of my understanding. Yavan was that world that said, Adka, there's nothing godly about what you're learning. And since there's nothing godly, it's beautiful, it's poetic, it's historic, but it's not godly. And since it's not godly, it has a seif. It's not ein seif. They can't understand, how could the Torah possibly be dealing with the issues of Corona? You know, I know of at least 8 svarim that have already come out dealing with the inyanim of Corona. 8 svarim that I know of, I'm sure there are more, that are dealing with the issues in halacha and in avoda of Corona. Now, you tell this to a Yavani. So what are you talking about? The same rabbis that were handling over Ben Sarah Meira, so they're up to date with Corona. Ain't saif to the aliyahs, to the or of Torah. Ain't saif. And that's just the in the nigla, just the revealed part of Torah. Ain't saif. And Yavan did not want a Jew or anybody to believe in the light of Torah, lashkicham Torah sacha Yavan is chayshach, and not to believe that the words contain within them infinite light, and the words are speaking about everything in life, everything that's happening right now in the world, everything. It's all the story. This week's parasha, this Vayishlach, is everything that's going on in the world right now is in Parashas Vayishlach. Everything that's happening in the world is in Parashas Vayishlach. The or, the light, the breath, the greatness. Va'afilu keser elyon di or tzach, or mitzutzach. And even when the Kabbalah Svarim are referring to that highest sphere that's called keser elyon, right? The keser elyon, the crown. The crown itself, that highest sphere. Iyu Artsach, which is a pure light, a refined light, or Mitzuchtsach, the most refined light. Ukam Hu, it's dark, it's black. Lagabi Ilas Kol Ha'ilos, in comparison to the cause of all causes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Reish Adol Yisiyada. When you learn this from the different levels of Keser, the unknowable beginning, even the Keser Elyon, the crown itself, that we were able to, only the greatest people, you know, are learning these things and have some grasp of what the Svarim are talking about. All of that, all of what the Vilna Gaon knew, all of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was talking about, all of that is dark, black. Ukam hula gabi ilas kol ha'ilas. In comparison to ilas kol ha'ilas, the cause of all causes, the Rebbeinu Shlom himself. The chol naharin mis chashchan kamei. All light is darkness before him. All light is darkness before Hashem. There's no end to the aliyahs. And whenever you get to the next level, when you look, you see that whatever was until now was mamish, was dark. And you see that you come to that new place of or, a higher level of or. All aliyahs, all that could ever be, all that any person ever could have possibly thought of, or could possibly ever in the future think of. It's not only that it's in the Torah someplace, it's in Parshas Vayishlach right now. Well, the Vilna Gaon was Magalo that it's not only in the first pasuk of Bereishis. He said it's in the first word of Bereishis. And then he says in the first letter of Beis, and it's in the dot in the middle of the Beis. All that was, is, and could ever be. It's in the dot of Bereishis. And that little black dot in the Beis, Bereishis, the Doge, Bereishis. In there is everything. Everything is in that dot. So this is something that the Yevanim, of course, couldn't tolerate, because the Inyan of Chachmas Yavne is what you're able to understand, is what you're able to see, what you're able to feel, to recognize with your senses, and so on. That's what exists. Umitarech Hayisron Harazi Hazeh. Hayisron Harazi Hazeh. And because of this mysterious advantage, Yisro means the advantage. Harazi means the secret. Haraz is a secret. Shelis Achdusam Shokol Hamachashobis Vanitzaitis Aruchni Besaicha. Which contains within it all the hisachdus, the coming together, the fusion, the integration of all machshavas, nitzaitzes ruchniyim b'saicha, all thoughts, all feelings, all that exists. Raki hine mesugelas lahadrocha klalus. Raki hino mesugelas lahadrocha klalus. Only the Torah could provide the true hadracha, the true guidance that the world needs. Raki hino mesugelas lahadracha klolis, to be able to provide this hadracha that is needed in the world. Before we go further, let me read to you just, I jotted down a few words from two of Rav Kook's letters. You don't have there in front of you. But from two of the letters, I'm just reading to you. I wrote it down. One of the advantages of this thing is that it has wider margins than in the safe. The safe has narrow. So, Hamachshava haYisraelis hanisa lo tizbol klal I hisachdus ahafachim. Chochmas Hakadosh, the Chochma of Torah, the wisdom of Torah, cannot tolerate I his achdus ha-hafachim. I his achdus ha-hafachim means the belief, the claim, that opposites cannot be brought together. Chochmas HaKadosh does not tolerate that. Doesn't accept that. In the world, opposites is something that tu ha-hafachim doesn't go. Chochmas HaKadosh doesn't accept that. Af pi shem vaday nirim kesoyshim zezeh. Even though on the surface it seems like these two ideas, these two, you look at Chochmah and Bina, you look at a man, a woman, it seems like they're irreconcilably different, opposites. And what they say in the Welt, in the world, that opposites attract, that Lashon of opposites attract is the source of so much Agmas Nefesh, and so much misery, and so many divorces. Opposites are attracted to each other because there's a certain mystique in the opposite, but they don't get along with each other. They hate each other. They can't be soiv with each other. Opposites. Unless they get to a place that's noise hafachim, which Hashem wants. That's the Indian that we spoke about last week, Ezer Kenegda, which the Meshulach speaks about in the beginning of the first page of Unbereishis. That through that external appearance of being polar opposites, through there a person, the two can come to the deepest havana, the deepest place which joins those two together. So Rav Kook says, "Vaydnir kesoyim zedzeh, rak nimichus hashkafa tuchal ledboa." Only a small perspective. Rav Kook writes in this letter. Only a small perspective. This is in the, if you have the letters, it's in the first volume of his letters on page, it's called Dalet Shin, it means Shin Dalet, but 304 in the first volume of his letters. Only, he says, rak nimichus hashkafa, only a small perspective. Tuchal lidvor l'katzei tzulahafrid. There are Jews who think that Ashkenazim and Sephardim can't get together. I had somebody this week, the Apostle de Shidduch, that I was suggesting. Because the name of the girl sounded Sephardish, and the boy said, I don't think my parents, I'll ask them. and the parents did not want it. I said, maybe we could talk about the family, about a little bit more of the details, get past the darker shade of skin a little bit, and get to some more about the family. No. And that can be explained. And the boy felt uncomfortable, and his parents said, it's not chas v'chalila that we have anything against Sfardim. Some of our best friends are Sfardim, and so on. We don't have anything against Sfardim. It's just that it's a very different culture. And there's truth to that. It is a different culture. There is truth to that. They come from a culture of emunah, we come from a culture of kfirah, and there's truth to that. It's true. It is true. There are many cultural differences between Ashkenazim and Sfarad. But they're not irreconcilable. And I'm not saying that I myself might. I might have a problem with that because I'd be worried that maybe this kid wouldn't stem because of certain cultural differences. But does that mean that Chas v'Chalila, these two Jews can't go together? I'm not saying I disagree with the parents. It could be whatever it is. It could be that kid is not ready for such an inyan of having to, of not having a filter fish or having, or maybe the wife is whatever is going to want to have rice on Pesach. So I don't know. It could be, and there are deeper things than that. But there are cultural differences. But if I think that I can't be best friends or a husband, a wife with any Jew in the world, that comes from what Rav Kook calls in this letter Nimuchus Ha'ashkafa, a small perspective. Because only that small perspective, he writes, Tucha Litbor Lekatzei Tzulaharfid, could demand that we cut off and separate. Cutting off and separating. Right away, that's not shy. It's not shy. Now you have it between Ashkenazim. Well, this one's now. This one's a Galiciana, this one's a Hungarian. This is a Chassidish, this is a Litvish. This is a Lubavitch, and this is a. This is whatever Gerichos. All of these things. All of this is nimichus ashkov, from a terrible small mind, small place. And whenever you're in a small place, the teretz is always no. It's always no. No, cut, separate. It's always no. So you could have a guy that's learning in Karl and Edsel for 7-8 years. And he's collecting tzedakah, goes around 2 months of the year collecting tzedakah, and his wife is begging him to go, maybe think about going to work, and he has some opportunity. And it could be that his Reish Karl is saying that how could you leave Karl? If you leave the yeshiva, then you're leaving life, and he'll bring 25 chazals, and he'll give him 1,000 ma'ar mekaymes that prove that if you leave Torah, you're leaving life. And you're cutting him off. And you're saying that the Torah is not big enough to travel with a person to work. Ki'ilu, there's such a thing. That the only way you could be a Jew is if you live in that place with those people. Not to, as I've mentioned, there's not to be exposed to people who are not like you. Smallness always says that everything that's different has to be cut away. Where racism comes from, prejudice comes from such a place. Whoever is different than you is cut off, cut away. And unfortunately, sadly, tragically, there are many from people that are in that place of cutting, of slicing, of tearing apart. And I'm not saying that there are times that it's not necessary because of the matzav that the world is in. Doesn't mean you can let your kid play at anybody's house. There's some things, there are crazy things going on in someone's house. I mean, there are times you have to say no. Rav Kook is not suggesting that we don't have to, at times, cut, trim, slice. We do. But it's certainly not the ideal. It's certainly not lechatchila. It's sad. It's chaval. Because of the matzav that we're in this world. Rav Kook in this letter calls this a philosophia shel atzlonis. What does that mean? A philosophy of laziness. If you weren't lazy, you'd make these two things work out. That's the truth. If you weren't lazy, you'd make these two things work out. Even with that house that's different from your house, and you're afraid to send your kid. Okay, it's not realistic that I should go now. What am I going to do? I'm going to teach these people. But be'emes, it's a philosophy of laziness. There is a way to be makarev. There is a way to be makarev. It's just that you can't. You don't know how. You think you can't. Your diet is too much. You're not able to. But is it true that two Jews can't be brought together? Is it true that two children shouldn't be able to play with each other? It's not true. But unfortunately, in this situation, because of the laziness and the ignorance, they're not going to end up together. But it's not really true. That's what Rav Kook says in this letter. This whole way of thinking, he says, "Machshav." I'm just reading again from the beginning of the letter, from the syntax. "Machshav Yisrael is hanisar lo tizbo klal ihis achdus hafochim." He says the higher level of Torah, of understanding Torah, does not tolerate this belief that opposites cannot be brought together. Doesn't tolerate it. And we're living in such a time where, forget about opposites. No. First cousins can't work it out. Forget about opposites. Kol mashon royim shaimim magishim hakol hemi betor malbushim shemos shetachtam nimsa toich atzmi. All the things that we see on the surface, these are all levushim that contain underneath them the etzem, the essence. What do you think when you go underneath in the Svardi, you go underneath in Ashkenazi? The etzem is the Nishmas Yisrael. It's Nishmas Yisrael. But there's a laziness. How am I going to get to that Nishmas Yisrael? It's a different type. The culture, all of these things are just levushim, the garments. But these two people, this one's an Ashkenazi, this one's a Sfadi, the Atzmus is Nishmas Yisrael. Nishmas Yisrael. Avech l'kulonu, what's the difference? But how am I going to get to that? And I can't get to that. She can't get to that, so I don't want my kids to work so hard, so I'm just going to find somebody that, you know, just makes cholent on Shabbos. You know, no fried rice. It's just too much for my kid to deal with. That's how it is. That's where we hold. That's where we're holding. I mean, I'm making a joke. Obviously, there are differences that are oftentimes very, very deep. And there's an inyan about background and understanding whether or not it stims. But Rav Kook is saying is that all of that is just Rachmanis, to be David. It really, really shouldn't have to be that way. It's resigning ourselves to a world that looks at things in this way that he calls Nemichius, in a small way. That's why Rav Kook was so misunderstood, because he had such eyes that he looked at everything in the bigger way. And the smaller people, even though many of them were brilliant, but they were smaller people. And you see the frustration. There's a famous letter that he wrote back to the Ritbaz. And the Ritbaz was, they had been friends together in Volozhin. And the Ritbaz was so upset with Rav Kook about how Rav Kook was trying to be makar of everybody. And that Rav Kook was Isaac in the Yonim in the Kabbalah and Pnimius. And the Ritbaz was, they had an argument in Halach about something, but that was like the old days in Volozhin. And Rav Kook, the letter that Rav Kook writes, trying to answer, to explain to him, and the feeling that I always have when I learn that letter about the Ritbaz sitting there and shaking his head, fighting against his old friend, it's sad. It's sad. Therefore, when Rav Kook wrote in one of his letters about the time has come for there to be a great reconciliation between the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon and the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, so on both sides there were people that didn't like that, you know. And it's interesting because you know that Rav Kook's father was from Litvish Gedolim, and Rav Kook's mother came from the Chassidim of the Tzemach Tzedek. They were Lubavitchers, Kapost Chassidim. And he said, the time has come to bring these two worlds together. Said, no, the time is not come. The time is for us to fight more about it. To fight more. And he wasn't talking about being nice. Isn't it beautiful that these Hasidim could sit with these Litvaks? It's so nice. It was not about being nice. He's talking about to come to a deep, deep understanding. And that deep understanding is a place where it's everything, where it's echad. It's echad. Wait to see. Soon Mashiach's coming, and you're going to see how the Litvaks will dance on Yutes Kislev. Whoa. How they're going to be dancing on Yad Kislev. Soon. And it's the other way as well. And that's where Rav Kook looked at everything. He writes in a different letter. Again, I'm sorry. I know you're just at Yosef, and you look like you want to learn it inside. Just another sentence from the letter. Chazayin hashleimus b'chiburim shel kol chelkei hatayv. He says the secret of unification, of unity, is all the chelke hatov, all of the good pieces come together. The bad stuff is thrown out, and all of the kol chelke hatov. Can you imagine? You have an Ashkenazi and a Sephardi. Kol chelke hatov of a Sephardi. Kol chelke hatov of an Ashkenazi. That's what this yichud is about. Kol chelke hatov. Mikol Atzadim. And Rav Kook is speaking about the nations of the world as well. And from art, and from music, and from literature. And that's what he was all the time trying to promote. To take the Chelke HaTayv. But people who don't have that vision, when they see the Levushim that are not Tov, because there are Levushim that are not Tov. When you see the Levushim that are not Tov, they right away say, I got to get out of here. This is not for me. This is going to destroy me. The levushim that are not tov. And all of Pnimiyas HaTorah, this soidius that Rav Kook is talking about, is to bring a person beyond the levushim. Beyond the levushim. Deeper, deeper, deeper than the levushim. You know how many times there's a person who I'm talking to who comes and shares with me an Indian that's so disgusting, I feel like I have to literally throw up. What he's talking about that is Indian, that he has a struggle with. And I feel like I'm getting sick listening to this. But I have to listen to him, telling his sorrow. And I feel like I'm going to get sick listening to this. And I feel like I can't stay in the room with this person. Not because I'm a tzaddik, just I can't, this is too much for me. And then I sit there and I listen. 15 minutes, a half hour, and by the time we're done talking, I'm mekaneh him. I wish I was as great as he is. Not that I wish I was doing his stuff. I don't want to do that stuff, and I want to go near it. But wow, what an amazing person! What an Adam Gadol! What he's been working on, what he's fighting, and the koiches that he's put into his life and his marriage and his kids. What an Adam Gadol, what an Adam Gadol, the Tzad HaTov of this person, the Tzad HaTov. Tzad HaTov. So strong. The Levushima are terrible, ugly. The Levushima are mamish nauseating. But Hashem is pushing us to try to go inside, not to get stuck by the Levushim. Not to get stuck by the Levushim. It's hard enough with your own child not to get stuck by the Levushim. By your own kid. The Pnimiyas V'Havta L'Racha, Kamoicha Mamish, Kamoicha Mamish. Then you hear that, you have to find 1,000 different pshatim to explain. When Pnimiyas HaTorah doesn't have to look for all the different pshatim, right? And you look in Nigla, all the Mefarshim have to explain, what does it mean, Kamoicha? Can't be Mamish, Kamoicha. Love another person like yourself. So they're all different pshatim. What does that mean? My result didn't have any problem with it. How come the Ariya Kodesh didn't have a problem? Rabbi Shimon didn't have a problem with it. Dalter Rebbe didn't have a problem with it. With Kamar Chamamish. Why not? When you look at the Mefarshim, everybody's saying, well, it doesn't mean Kamocha. It says Kamocha. Yeah, it says that, but a lot of things in Torah you have to try to understand what it means. So what does Kamocha mean? Then you look at all the different Pshatim in Kamocha. But Rabbi Shimon said, no, it's Kamocha. Kamocha. How could that be? How is it possible to love a stranger? I don't even know the person. How is it possible to love another person as much as I love myself? Kamoicha Mamish. How's that possible? Because mitzad the levushim, the garment, you have to come up with all kinds of tirutzim. And you do have to come up with tirutzim. Because this is a world that's filled with levushim. And you have to help people get along with other people. So they are levushim. And you have to have the mefarshim telling us these levushim. So for people who are in a place of nimichius, this lower perspective, they should be able to get along with each other. If not for the fear of malchus, people would swallow each other up. So you have to deal with the levushim. But Ari HaKadosh says, kamach means mamish. Kamach means mamish. What's the problem with kamacha? Why can't you love another Jew the same as you love yourself? Kamacha mamish. I have the levushim. You don't love your child more than you love yourself. But on his levushim, her levushim, there are a million things that are wrong. There are a million things that are different than your levushim. Because you feel that you and your kid are one nisham. Nachon. I mean, that's true. But that's also true of the Ashkenazi and the Sephardi. Even though they never met. And it's also true of two people who have nothing in common on the surface. The Avecha Lukalon, like the Tani writes Lamed Beis, and the Tzemach Tzadik explains by Riches, and Dech Mitzvah Secha. Kamoicha means Kamoicha Mamish. Kamoicha means Mamish. But the Levushim, it can't be Mamish. How could it be that I should love this person as myself? He's not me. It's not true. That's only mitzad al-Rushim, he's not you. Mitzad the guf, he's not you. Mitzad nishmas Yisrael, he is you. So the more you dive into the world of Sidius, the deeper you go into the world of Sidius, the more the levushim are falling away. The levushim start to fall away. And you're able to see that nekuda ha'asvus, nekuda ha'pimis, which the Sfasamis is talking about, come on, every piece of Sfasamis is this thing. If you learn Sfasamis, every piece in Sfasamis is this in. Every piece in Sfasamis is this in. But the Sfasamis talks every piece this in. Avoidus HaKredesh Shal Slilos HaDerech V'Asiyas HaGisharim V'Natayimus HaMafridim. He says, what's Avoidus HaKredesh? What's our holy work? And this is what he was doing all the time. He was trying. Is to carve paths, to make paths and bridges, vasiyas gisharim, bein hatahomos hamafridim. You hear the words? What's tahomos? What's tahom? But tahom here means, like al pnei hatahom, means emptiness. Tahomos, depths of emptiness that are mafridim, that seem to separate between these two. How do you build a bridge, he says, over tahomos hamafridim? Sodius, he says, pnimis hatayra, is always working to build bridges between tahomos mafridim. Zosi ha'avayda shehayisi chafet shetia chaviva al kol ha'oiskim b'nishmos ha'deraisa. This, Rav Kook says, is the avayda that I want. Rav Kook says, I want should be beloved amongst all of those who are oisik b'nishmos ha'deraisa, who are learning nishmos ha'deraisa, the soul of Torah, the panimis of Torah. And in that letter, he writes about the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov and Talmidei HaGra, bringing them together. Talmidei Baal Shem Tov and Talmidei HaGra, they should come together. He said there was nothing that was more dear to him. Let's continue inside. Let's finish this Torah. You have where it says Al Kain, Rak Hasoy. You have it. All right, we're going to learn. Just trying to understand the pshat. Alkein, rak hasoid hu nishmas emuna. Just like everybody has a body and has a guf and has a nishma soul, so too the Torah has a body and the Torah has a soul. And so the secrets of Torah is nishmas emuna, is the soul of faith. There's external faith, there's the body of faith, and then there's the neshama of faith. Unfortunately, since we were raised and our children are mostly being taught only about the guf, the body of faith, it oftentimes doesn't help them to make their way through the challenges of life. But if they would be taught nishmas ha'emunah, the soul of emunah, nishmas ha'emunah, That's really the Yontiv of Yad Kislev. That's the Yontiv of Yutes Kislev. The Or of the Baal Shem Tov was in terrible, terrible danger when the Alter Rebbe was in jail. It was in terrible danger. There was a kitchug. There was a terrible kitchug that the neshama, the soul of Emuna, the soul of Torah, the soul of Yiddishkeit, Chalilu, was trapped, was imprisoned. And the life of the Baal Shem Tov, what was going to be? Nishmasa d'araisa. The soul of Torah, we'll talk more about that. There's a long piece in the Zohar Kaddish and Ba'aloy Scha on the difference between those Jews who are satisfied or satisfy themselves with the guf of Torah, with gufei Torah, as opposed to those who are particularly beloved to Hashem, who are going beyond the guf and entering into Nishmasa d'araisa, who want to be able to know more about the soul of Torah, the soul of Emunah. Nishmas derayis. Maybe when we learn from Rav Avinair, we'll go into some of the we'll go over a piece of the Zohar Kaddish there. It's on Kufnun Beis and Beis and Baal Oischa to look to. It's a whole page and more than a page. It's a blab in the Zohar Kaddish in this Indian of Nishmas derayis of the soul of Torah. That means. And at that time, this, by the Alter Rebbe, the soul of Torah was in danger. It wasn't just the Alter Rebbe. It was the Baal Shem Tov. It was Rabbi Shimon. It was the Ari HaKadosh. And therefore, the gula of the Alter Rebbe is a yontif, not just for Lubavitcher Chassidim. It's a yontif for every Jew in the world. It's a yontif for the Ovis. It's a yontif for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a yontif for Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yutes Kislev. It's not the Lubavitcher, it's the Lubavitcher thing. So Yontif, for every Jew in the world that can still say that I believe there's a Bayer Olam, it's because of Yutes Kislev. And you know how I would be attacked? I'm going to get some emails because of what I just said. Okay, say that. Ani Mukhan. The soul of Emunah was mamish in danger. And that's what the Rebbe Rashab wrote in his letter. And that's what was, and everybody went crazy. How can you write such a thing? And it's a Rosh Hashanah. It's a Rosh Hashanah. It's a Rosh Hashanah. But Chabad, of course, then they run with that. But it's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. Just like you have in the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Hashanah Lamelachim. It's Nisan. And the Jewish people became free from Mitzrayim. When the Alter Rebbe went out from jail, Rosh Hashanah, Man Malchi Rabbanan, the Malchus of Yiddishkeit, the Malchus of Hashem in this world, was free. And we're watching that. We're living at a time where we're watching that. The Alter Rebbe has such nachas watching what's going on. It's chaval because of COVID, they're not going to have the usual week of Yutes Kislev in the Binyanei HaUmah that I love going to every year. I've done it 3 times, so I already call it every year because that's what I would like to do. You've been there by Yutes Kislev in Yerushalayim? Unbelievable. Didon Natzach. You know what those words mean? Let's continue. Umelishad chayev chayev kol hagolui. Umelishad chayev chayev kol hagolui. Kol hakotsev kol ahogi behigoyin v'chol anasa b'maisa. And all that exists, all thoughts, all feelings, all that's revealed, all that seems to have limitations, everything that takes place is moistened with the life-giving waters of the secrets of Torah. It has a neshama. The flower has a neshama. The table has a neshama. When you learn sight, you begin to see the or in everything that exists. Kuloi oimer kavod. Every single thing is screaming out, Ein od mavada. Everything is saying Ani Hashem. Everything is. Everything is Ani Hashem. Everything. Every rock. Everything is Ani Hashem. Ha'achdus ha'mufulashas. Rav Kook comes up with these terms. Achdus mufulashas. The word mufulashas, like in halacha, mufulashas means something that crosses through. Mufulashas, achdus ha'mufulashas means a unity in achdus that's mufulashas, that penetrates. Penetrates to all what seems to be on the surface impenetrable. Achdus ha'mufulashas. The oneness of Hashem penetrates to all that exists. It's at the end, it's at the core of all that exists. Achdus ha'mufulashas. Mufulashas. Shel haraz, kolelis es kol ha'yetziris. Of raz, meaning of the secrets of Torah. Kalelus is kol ha'yitzirus, includes all that was created. Kol t'nai machshava regesh, all that was created, all the conditions of human intellect and emotion. Hashem's oneness penetrates, courses through, enters into everything, emotions, thoughts. Kol ofanei hashira v'haratzah, all ways of poetry and of haratzah means of teaching, of lecturing. Achdus of Hashem, Raz, the secret of Torah, Mufulashas, everything. That's why he was begging the poets, those new Yiddish and Hebrew poets of his time that he befriended and that loved him, that to the Levushim are not Jewish, the Levushim are you took from outside, but the Achdus ha'mufulashas that Rav Kook saw in Jewish poetry, in Hebrew and Yiddish poetry, that he saw that was coming from Jews that had Nishmas Yisrael, but the Levushim, he wanted to get rid of the Levushim to go into the Achdus ha'mufulashas. Kol netios ha'chaim, all the inclinations of life, kol hashifas, kol hatikvas, all aspirations, all hopes. Every hope that every person in the world has, the inner point of every hope that's good, that inner point is Hashem, is Achdus ha'mufulashas, the hope for equality. Where does that come from? That hope. It comes, the Achdus ha'mufulashas, small people take these things and use them to make milchamas and to fight and to, but the Achdus ha'mufulashas, every hope, every human hope, the Achdus ha'mufulashas is Einod Milvada. And Rozei HaTorah. If you learn Said, if you're connected to Saidius, you understand that black lives do matter. Not that you say, "Who's chavach mit der Schwarze? Why do I have a Schwarze? What are they making that hacking the Schwarze?" We were raised talking like that and thinking like that. What do I have a shaykes with a Schwarze? I'm only using that term to make this point. Chachmei Hasayid, Rav Kook would never ever say such a thing. What do I have to do with the Schwarze? Imagine Rav Kook talking that way. It would never, ever happen. He would pass out hearing the way we talk. Because of course black lives matter. Every life matters. Why shouldn't their lives matter? They were mistreated and they were mistreated for a long time. It's kfarlich. And there's a lot of guilt that people should good people should feel over what took place over the years, but that's not what they're talking about. These guys, what they're carrying on. That's not what Black Lives Matter means, because that was hijacked by Rishon. It's hijacked by evil people who don't really care about Black Lives, Because if they really cared about black lives, they wouldn't be burning down the stores of the black person who spent his whole life building up this store. They hold black lives don't matter. They hold that their lives matter, and now they have an opportunity to rule over, to control, and to destroy, and to burn, and to pillage, and to rape. That's what it's about. But the emes is black lives matter. Sure it matters. It's a big sugya. And a person who is Isaac in Saidiya Satira and Raz doesn't look at that as something which is small. It's a big thing. We learned at the beginning of the Maimer. There's nothing small. The fact that there's a Hesiru is now before Mashiach comes, the same way there was feminism and so on, Black Lives Matter, 100%. Of course. And this thing that happened these past few years with this Me Too, you know, with women that are abused, of course it's hijacked by Vashandis and Vishayim. They take everything and ruin it. But is it true that women are finally able to say, get away from me, you're an animal? Of course, they were for thousands of years, they're being taken advantage of. And it's such a pleasure to watch these guys being taken away in handcuffs. It's a pleasure. I have hana every time one of them is taken away in handcuffs. Even the ones with the yarmulkes and tzitzis. Arishas. Is there truth to that? That, of course, there's meat too. Yeah, black lives matter 100%. What happens to these is that it then becomes, it goes away from the nekuda of the Sfasemes. It goes away from the Kuda of Raz, of the secret of what? Ha'achdus and Mefeleshes. Oh, and then it starts going all over the place. It goes all over the place. Next thing you know is that, you know, like Portland is on fire. You know, the whole city is burning down. Because why is the nice city burning down? Because Black Lives Matter. You would think that there would be more cities being built because of Black Lives Matter. Because it's taken away then by the Rishayim. It's taken away by the Rishayim. They mess everything up, the Rishayim. White, black, purple, whatever the color is, they mess everything up. Kol amigamos v'chol ideilim, all ideals. May oymek tachtisam ad rum govam, even like this ideal, even an ideal that seems to be like not such an important thing. Animal rights, they're crazy people. The ones that hijacked it are crazy people. But is there an inyan of Tzar B'Lechai? Of course there's an inyan. There's not a chiddush to a Jew, Tzar B'Lechai, to worry about an animal that's being hurt. Of course there's. But does that mean that because of that I can't have any flanken on Shabbos? It's taken to all kinds of places. Or if someone's, you know, I have to give back my shreimel or something. It's taken away. But the nekudah pnimis of these people, what they're talking about, is true. It's true. They had a mice. Remember years ago, there was a mice in Belgium where there was some kind of a cow's disease. You remember? Over there in Scandinavia, there was a cow, some kind of a disease. So pachad, people were dying. You know that they shechted thousands and thousands and thousands of cows. You know that just now somebody was telling me that there was an inyan, because I mentioned with the shreimel, there was an inyan that there was a chshad that there was something that was some disease that was being carried around by mink, by the animal, those animals, and that they threw hundreds of thousands of, I didn't know there were so many, they threw hundreds of thousands into the ocean, into the river. They drowned all these animals. And there was not one mink that was able to say, Rabbi, you're making a mistake. I didn't do it. It's a vicious. And this has been going on. And it continues to go on. So then you take that, but the animal rights people, so then the animal's more chashuv than a human being, v'chulu v'chulu. It just gets, but the nekud is, oymek tachtisam, even the lowest inyan of an animal suffering. Ad rum goyf unto the highest ideals of the world, u'l'sharachayim, and of course, only Rav Kook says the l'shad means the juice, the moisture of the highest life that comes from the secrets of rak zoyer hanavuah that come from prophecy, but the nevim. The light of prophecy, Aspeklari Hamira, and the prophecy, the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, who saw everything with Aspeklari Hamira. When Moshe Rabbeinu looked at everything in the world, he saw the Achdus Hamefuleshes. He saw the light of Hashem that was in everything. He saw, Moshe Rabbeinu saw everything, the Nevi'im, Aspiklam here is the Zihara the Adam Arishon, which the Zohar talks about. If you look there at footnote 13 and all those places, Zihara Yilod, Ahavichapi Alai, Vistalik Benai, Vistara, Aruma Yinei, the Zihara Yilod that the Zohar talks about, the highest light of Elokus, of Adam Arishon, of how Adam saw me, Soifa, Oilam Vat Soifa. What does it mean that Adam saw from one end of the world to the other end? It means that he saw the Achdus HaMefulashes. That's why he was able to see from one end of the world to the other end. We don't see 2 feet because there's all kinds of stuff. But the Levushim are in the way. Adam Rishon saw, we saw like the baby inside the womb, right? We saw from about Sofai. Because it goes through. They could see through. The Iris al Yonim, the highest light, Yechalim Legaloisai, Shoite for Oyver Hubakol, that this Achdus Hamafuleshes, this light of Sod, this light of Hashem is like a tidal wave. It's Shoite for Oyver Hubakol, it's crashing, pushing, moving through all that exists. Bechol Hogus Leiv, every thought, every feeling of the heart. Bechol Tnuas Ruach, every movement of Ruach, of the Spirit. Raksoid siach el yonu mechalik. We're going to come back to these words when we learn with Rav Avner. Raksoid siach el yonu mechalik es asteroids. Maya choshev l'reishis, maya choshev l'achris. To be able to know the order of things, like I said, that the problem is that the people hijack these things and take them in the wrong way. To be able to know the order, the Seder, that's only my chashu reishis and achris. Eizem arach loyte kanes achdus. Where should we be careful that right now this is something that this is an abolik dika thing that needs to be outside and it should not be allowed now inside and so on. This is only soit siach elyon. This comes only from the highest place to know. B'nei shiflusa ve'eizem arach, because of this thing that could be too low and right now it shouldn't be. We shouldn't have any shaykhis to it. We shouldn't have any shaykhs to it. Like I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, that only people like the Chassam Sofer or Pshat Shmuel Hirsch were able to make such a decision to cut off the reform, that chelik of Klal Yisrael that they were dealing with, to cut them off. And we can't do these things to decide and how and what. Only great people could do this. And you know that the Chassam Sofer and Pshat Shmuel Hirsch, they were crying, they were fasting, because they knew that Achdus Mefuleshes, that this oneness of Hashem is found in these lost brothers and sisters also. But what could they do? It was destroying us. So sometimes you have to amputate. That's what they said. That's from the Sefer Yetzirah, that Lufnei Echad, to know in the presence of that Echad, Ma'ata Sofer, how to count and how to distinguish, how to separate higher, lower priorities, to know when can I now see the inclusion of this right now. When is it something for the time being that has to be excluded for the time being? Because we're not holding by Mashiach yet. At that time of Ahiyash Lamach HaKalash, Vayamu Yeach Shem, Echad Ushmai Echad. Echad Ushmai Echad, then everything will be Sofer Brewer, everything will be clear, and will be Echad Mamish. Echad Mamish. Until that time, only those who are part of the Soit Siach Elyon, that conversation, Soit Siach Elyon, of the secret conversations of the biggest tzaddikim, the biggest tzaddikim who are in this place of Zahari Law, only they can make these distinctions to understand where things fit in and how they should be used right now. That we don't understand. That we leave up to our great leaders. That's Hashem. Next Erev Shabbos, the first day of Hanukkah, we'll begin to learn inside Rabbi Ben Ezra.